You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Because we did 9 weeks, and that was, I could not see my family for 9 weeks. So we took 4 days off in the middle, and like our bass player has a baby, so he went home. But I was like, I want my family to come out and experience this.
Can I be your son? I want to go here. I gotta get out of here. I haven't been to Canada before. Everybody is super nice.
He came to Canada too, Montreal, for like Halloween season. He was there for a couple of days. Like, we just started him right away, and he's good with it. But you guys will meet him for AP, because he's going to fly out with my wife.
Damn.
And be at the award show and run around and all that.
That's tight. I'm great with kids, because they're, like, my same size.
Can he come play our after party?
He would love to play the after party. I mean, it's all bedtime, so he might have an attitude problem.
Yeah.
But he'll be good.
Dude, he's like this. Like, kids are... I'm cool with kids. They're, like, kind of my size, and, like, we like a lot of the same stuff. Like, I remember when the kids are fucking great, because they see shit that they've never seen... daily.
Every moment.
Mm-hmm. Every moment. Like, I remember the first time I saw an airplane and I was like, the fuck is that? You know, like, that's like the only memory I have as a child, besides all the bad ones. But that was like the first thing. I remember driving over fucking in New York and I saw this plane and I was like, yeah, that's not something that I've ever seen before. And kids have that moment like every fucking 5 seconds. So it's super cool that you get to bring him all over these places with you, because he's got to see a lot more cool shit than me.
Probably also like the first plane ever, like the Wright brothers. Or
something. Yeah, I am old. I'm like, I don't know how old you are when you start remembering. What is it, like 9? 10?
Probably before then.
18?
I mean, my first memory is when I was 3. I remember going to the hospital when my sister was born to see her in the nursery, and that's like my first memory.
I have a terrible memory.
My first memory is when my sister was born too, and I was probably like 2 or 3.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't fucking remember anything. So it doesn't. It like literally, all my memories could be real, or they could just be me lying. I don't know.
My dad was like super good about filming home movies. So like it's hard for me to separate like what's my memory and like what I've seen on film.
My dad was great with that, too, because he actually has a side business. He used to, like, do weddings and shit. So my mom's got, like, a million VHSs from all of our Christmases, which, because that shit didn't exist, or maybe my parents didn't have it, doesn't start till I'm 3. So my sister is from infant, but I did that for my son. Like, I made a video of the first year of his life, like, from my wife being pregnant through the first year, which... will be cool for him to look back on one day, you know, and then just pictures from the year, like, there's a fun little project I did, like, on my downtime on tour, but yeah, I mean, it's so easy to film stuff now. And
well, yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is now it's so easy.
But you just have to, like, do stuff with it, you know, because it's so easy to also lose it.
Yeah.
My parents, they just sent me this. They sent me a flash drive with, they made, like, they took all the fucking... You remember when you had to, like, record shit with, like... And it was a physical tape?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they, like, took all those tapes and got them, like, put onto a flash drive. And then shipped me the flash drive. And I'm yet to watch it, but I fucking... Dude, we...
Let's watch it.
Yeah, maybe... Yeah, you'll be like, oh, that's why he is the way
just
he
play
is.
It on the screens at Emo Night.
Yeah, that is...
On our YouTube channel.
That is the way... Why I am the way I am. Dude, so we met you a year ago at... the APMAs.
Yep.
Where I was starstruck by Baby Metal.
Oh, we all were. That was awesome.
Yeah, but I've never seen Morgan like that. That
we meet, I mean, we meet people all the time. And I, like, you guys came in, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, Sum 41. And then Baby Metal came in, and I was like, fuck it, literally everybody else in the entire world.
Yeah.
So it was like, but I mean, I bet you, is there other people that you get like that with? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. So, like, I mean, what's like, what's somebody like that who you're like, you know, but like, yeah, still feel that way?
I mean, the craziest shit of all time was, like, I grew up seeing Motley Crue. That was the first show my parents took me to when I was 5. It was Ozzy and Motley. And that was, like, the tour where everything in their book, The Dirt, is about all those stories. They were completely out of their fucking minds. And I saw that at 5, and I knew at that moment that I like wanted to do that. Seeing Tommy Lee in this arena, and we had like the shitty nosebleed seats, and it just like hit me that far away. And then becoming friends with those guys, and then actually being in the band for 2 weeks when he was injured, that was like the ultimate what the fuck.
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
That was about maybe 5 to 7 summers ago. I did that, and that was just insane. I mean, they're just like, you're in the band. Like,
so crazy.
So you yeah. are a pretty good drummer.
I mean,
so he is okay drummer. He's been in.
And that kind of happened last minute too, right?
Yeah, he had an unfortunate accident with fireworks, and like all his skin on his hand was gone.
Oh my god!
So
what do you do?
Fireworks, just
he
a freak accident with
yeah.
like with sparklers, like those giant like club size sparklers. It was like his girl's birthday, and he was lighting them, and it just literally. It was like a mistake. Like something happened.
Set his
just,
hand on fire.
Yeah, bad.
Jeez, it's 4th of July this weekend. Be careful, kids.
Yeah.
Or no.
Oh, it had already passed.
Oh yeah, that depends.
It was 4th of July.
Holy shit! It's already 4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
But so, did you have to like learn shit that day, or
the thing is like I. Grew up with that and
oh, so
played to those records my entire
yes.
life. The only monkey wrench was, hey, we're doing, it's a Dr. Feelgood album anniversary, so we're doing the whole record. And some of those deep album tracks I hadn't heard in forever, so I had to write like quick charts for it. But they were just like, I'm like, okay, we're getting a sound check, quick rehearsal, like, no. Like, what?
You just like went in?
Just went
oh,
in,
shit.
Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, go. I mean, and he had a microphone, he was like hidden on the side, he had a microphone and like, coach me through anything that
did
was like.
Was he really? He was there, like
he was there
checking.
Because that's what
was that fucking. Were you nervous as shit?
What were his notes like? Was it okay? Coming up, we have the film.
What happened was he actually wound up just. He was like, "All right, you got this." In the first couple songs, and then he just started like partying. So he was like,
"Yes, that is
you know, drunk notes. And just yelling like when I do something or whatever." And I'm like, "Stop!" Like yelling,
yeah.
Like, "I gotta do your gig, man!" Like,
okay,
you know,
four measures on when you spin the drumstick.
Yeah.
just
like extended outros or certain
yeah,
cues
yeah,
of like,
yeah, yeah.
you know, with production.
Did he get super wasted and was like, fuck yeah, that was a great job. I don't know how to drum terms.
Totally. I mean, there's a YouTube video you can see of him filming with my flip cam. So flip cams were out then.
Yeah.
And he's just having a good time. Like filming him, filming me. There's pyro going off. It was insane. It was so fucking fun.
Yeah, like, that's fucking super tight. What's your favorite tour you've been on since? I mean, dude, but like, so I was driving with my, sorry, I interrupted myself. Something that happens occasionally. I was driving I'm in a band, and my buddy, the other dude I'm in a band with, has been a drummer. He's the first drummer for One Republic, and he was like, oh, fuck yeah, that dude rules. Started Street Drum Corps,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, ask him about that, and that's all he said. He was like, that is very tight, ask him about that.
That really ties into the whole emo night thing, because we started in that world at, like, the peak time of all these bands and stuff, and it happened by accident. Like, I moved out here to be in a band with this, like, singer-songwriter that everything on paper was supposed to happen. It was going to be the next big thing, blah, 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 and it just tanked. It did. Everything fell apart. And the first night I moved here,
you
I met...
You allowed to talk about that or no?
It's really nothing to talk about. Like,
what was
not,
the band name?
It was this...
It's like my
favorite
thing.
It was this French Canadian artist called Ank.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually went back over there and blew up over there and sings in French and did well there, but, like, what was supposed to happen in L.A. didn't happen. But the night I moved here, I met Bobby and Adam Alt, who are brothers, and Bobby was in this band called Stun, which is a rad band. They're, like, the Refused and, like, At the Drive-In or something
Stun?
Like that. Yeah, they were out on Warped Tour. They toured with, like, fucking Manson, Jane's Addiction, like, great, great band. And they were, like, a breakout band
yeah.
of, like, Rolling Stone and Spin at that time. And he was on a break from Stun, and... We all met, and I found out that they had a drum show, the brothers, together, and they were playing on Fan Objects. I was doing that on the East Coast, and I was like, we should just get together for fun, and just kept running into each other, and we actually went to a junkyard in downtown LA and went fucking nuts for like an hour. Filmed it. Adam's an editor. He edited it down to like a little reel, and I knew the theme park world, because I used to do drum shows on the East Coast in theme parks. So we sent it to a bunch of theme parks in California. Bobby showed it to the, you know, the punk world of, like, the Warped Tours and all that. And everyone loved it, and we wound up getting a whole summer residency at Six Flags Magic Mountains, and that was my job.
That's
which
awesome.
Was amazing. We got to play drums,
yeah,
like, 5
yeah,
days a
that's
week
great.
For a whole summer season. And Bert from The Used was a dear friend of Bobby in Adams, and he was like, this is fucking rad, and said, I want to take you guys on tour. And right at that time, we did a show for NAMM at Chain Reaction, because I was like, looking at all the NAMM shit that was coming out, I'm like, there's nothing like cool or like
right.
young or punk or whatever. So I knew Adrian Young, and Adrian was like, I want to do this with True Drum Corps and bring Brooks Wackerman and Byron from Pennywise and all these punk people, and let's do an event. We got like Vision Streetwear to sponsor it and all this shit. It was sold out. It was awesome. And Kevin Lyman found out about it. So he said, we want you to come on the Warped Tour. So Bert was like, I'm coming on the Warped Tour with you guys. We're like, dude, we're in a van. We're just doing just California and Arizona. Like, we're in a van. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll be there. So he showed up, and he would play like a trumpet, he would scream, he would drum with us, and he was there with us every single day. We'd set up our own stage, our own sound, but this is, I mean, the Used was massive at this point. And Bert would get up there, and the kids would fucking freak out. And we didn't have barricade, we didn't have security. And I remember one day, it was 4th of July, we were in somewhere in Northern California. Bert stands on our PA and goes, like, to pull the kids over because we were next to the main stage. They shut us down because the kids fucking were, like, raiding the stage. It was nuts. So we had to get security and barricades moving forward. And then after that, Bert took us on an entire American and Canadian tour with the Used. And that's when we were out with bands like Under Oath and Alexis on Fire.
As, like, opening? Like, as opening? So, like, what did that, like,
so what we would do is, we would be the Used's intro. We would go out for, like, 15, 20 minutes and do our drum routine. And then one of our songs, the first song we ever wrote and recorded, which Kevin Lyman actually signed us when he had a record label called Warcon. And it was, like, the single we put out called Flock of 81. And the Used was like, we want this to be our intro. So we would start it, and then they would come out one by one and play to it. And then the Used would go in and take it away, and then there's like a cool drum breakdown in the middle that we would play with them. So we would play for like 15, 20 minutes, get the crowd amped up, and then that would segue into the intro of their show
right.
that we were part of. So we were out, and then we did the Taste of Chaos tour with Deftones and a million Thrice
yeah.
and all these, Betray You, like all that shit.
Sick.
That was amazing. And
yeah.
Chino loved us and asked us to come on and play with them every night, so we'd get up and play with them too, which was insane. And we were in between Thrice and Deftones. That was our slot every night on that
show. So what's sick is that you did something that didn't exist before. So like what you guys, I mean, drums obviously existed, like it, but what you guys did was make it part of a show and have it make it its own entity of like what it actually is. And I think that speaks like volumes for, I mean, I think anybody growing up playing an instrument, that's what they want. They're like, I would love to do something. I love this instrument. I want to do something different. And I think that's fucking really cool. When you can get somebody like Bert or like fucking get on tour with Deftones just from doing what you like to do.
And it also seems cool because it keeps things interesting. Like, it sounds like you ended up collaborating. Like,
and it all happened naturally, which was pretty amazing. Like, we just wanted to, we were tired of being in fucking bands, waiting on guitar players to write riffs, singers, like all the typical shit. And we were like, we want to be frontmen. We want to do something that's different. And we all come from this punk, you know, it was like a Nine Inch Nails meets, you know, the Warped Tour or something like that. You know, we wanted to blend all that stuff. And it all just happened naturally. And it's still going 13 years later. And basically what it's become is, it's very similar to kind of your guys' business model, how you have, it's a tour and it goes in all these different cities. Like basically, when we were out on tour with the Used, we were in a contract with Six Flags, and I came to them and said, listen, we just got an opportunity of a lifetime. Like, we're going to have to bow out of this. And they're like, well, we support you guys 100%, but we need to have a drum group here for the rest of the season. So either we're going to just find another group in LA to replace you guys, or you guys could hire three dudes and train them, and you pay them, and we'll still pay you guys. I was like, wait a second, we could be in multiple places. So now, fast forward to 13 years later, I mean, we have probably 50 drummers trained across the United States, and basically, they just tour, we train them locally, so I don't have to deal with flights, whatever, and there's enough amazing drummers all over America, but we do a bunch of theme parks, like all the fair residencies, like our guys will be at the OC Fair for a month, and the LA Fair for a month. We have a huge Halloween franchise called Blood Drums, which in theme parks, we have a theater show, and that's awesome because it's really like the real true drum corps show with grinding sparks and beating the shit out of stuff, which we have to PG it up a little bit, the fairs and the theme parks here. It's like the real deal show, but sporting events, halftime shows, private events, and that's like kind of my day job now. Like, we don't perform anymore.
You just like go and train and
run
like
the
make
whole
sure
thing.
The whole fucking thing is happening because you got your own thing going.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Do
I mean,
you personally train all of them, or has it become kind of?
I do when I can. I mean, I did for the last couple of years. Now I've gotten guys that have stepped up to do it and help me with it, which is awesome to you know, have guys come up in the company that have been with us for a while. But, yeah, it's a total disenchanting machine now, which it's
I don't know how you found all these drummers, because, you know, TJ, you've been in a band. How hard is it to fucking find one good drummer?
Yeah.
It's impossible. Like, everybody's like, I play bass, and I'm like, so does everybody. But, like, fucking to find some, like, somebody who's, like, good at drums is close to impossible. It looks like you scooped them all up.
I mean,
how do you fucking find these people?
It's
tell the band. Tell a fucking new band. Yeah, no, it doesn't
shit.
Work. It doesn't work. No, it doesn't work. So, I don't know. You fucking somehow managed to nail every single fucking good drummer.
But it's also, they'll send us their best YouTube of, like, them, you know, in their band. And then
yeah.
if we see, like, they have the vibe, then we'll say, okay, now, on your iPhone, go in your kitchen, your garage, play this routine on found shit. Because
right.
we need to see if they can play unfound stuff. And sometimes people are like a deer in the headlights and they don't know how to do that without
right.
being on a kid. So, and then they also have to be like performers.
Sure.
Because when they're playing at the OC Fair, yes, they should
be
able to play the routine.
Like,
no, you have to entertain it.
Yeah.
There's a little kid there. You have to acknowledge the little kid and the grandparents and, like, you know, it's a very family show and all that. So it does take a lot. And, like, that was the most rewarding thing when I would go out to, you know, middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania to train a cast and see these timid dudes by the end of the week. They were just these warriors, like, they were like us. They turned into us, slamming kegs and
yeah, it's like
being aggressive.
He started working here, and he was wearing, and he was,
he came to his interview in a suit.
Yeah, and he couldn't
amazing.
Fucking speak, and now he's just, like, running around,
oh, no.
bossing shit around. He couldn't speak, he barely fucking speak.
Oh, no.
But now he's just, like, running
he's
around.
He's just nervous.
It's wonderful to see. It's, like, really cool to see, like, that, and also the business aspect of it. It's, like, really cool to see that grow. You should get the Halloween people to stab people with fucking the drumsticks. Have you ever thought about that?
I mean, we definitely use some blood in the show.
Yeah, you should stab them. My fucking drummer in my band is in Mickey Mouse in Disneyland.
No way.
Hmm?
That's awesome.
She's Mickey.
What? Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, most
that's
Mickeys
right.
are girls, yeah.
In the Electric Light Parade or on the cruise or what? Where?
She's the head Mickey drummer.
Where?
At Disneyland.
Yeah, but, like, what shows does she do?
I don't know.
All?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Like, her Scott could ask her and email me her schedule, but,
yeah.
like, I just know that she's Mickey and awesome at drums. So, that's all. But I think that, like, a lot of really good drummers go there because they're like, guess what? You can play drums all fucking day.
Totally. I mean, Josh Freed's, like, his dad is the marching band leader there.
Yeah.
And I think Josh did it when he was, like, young, too.
Sweet. So, you're doing something cool with the APMEs, right? With
speaking
one
of drums and all
guest.
That stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
and
like.
Then,
also, I like the way you email. You email like me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're just like, I have an idea. And then you don't email and you're like, I also have another idea. And then you just like, you email, you double email. I do the same thing. So I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, this whole AP thing's been pretty amazing. Like, 2 years ago, it would have been 3 AP awards ago, though, was my first show with Sum 41, which is insane to play in that arena.
Your first show ever with Sum 41?
Like, Derek and I did some little warm-up shows without the guys, like, just for him and I to work shit out and him to get back on stage again, you know, after he got well and everything. But it was the first official show with Dave Brown sound back. Like, he was hidden. We had to hide him in to get him in the venue. So we went out and we did, like, a medley of Sum 41 shit, and Dave came in halfway, and then that was just a mindfuck enough. And then it's like, oh, we're going to collaborate with DMC for Run DMC and do a bunch of Run DMC songs. So it was insane to be my first show and to have it streaming to fucking a million people or whatever. So fast forward to this year, we're on tour Pierce the Veil, we're in El Paso, and, like, I wake up, I go to my computer, and I have an email from management saying, congratulations, the band has 3 nominations, which is for Music Video of the Year, Artist of the Year, and then that I had Drummer of the Year, which I froze, and I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is insane to be 2 years later and to be in that place. And then Mike Shea, who's been a huge supporter of my career since day one, he loves Street Drum Corps. We've gone to his office and played everything in their office. It's on YouTube, the video somewhere, which is really fun. He called and said, hey, like, we did this little drumline thing last year with Warped Tour drummers, and I want to make a big drum moment this year, a performance, and I thought of you, like, what are your thoughts? And right away I thought of Adrian, because we collaborated for 13 years, and we have a really good thing together. And, you know, Adrian's killing it right now with Dream Car, mm-hmm. which is awesome for, you know, it's like good timing. And then we were trying to figure out, like, how else we want to do this, and we locked the third person that we can't announce, but it's like it was the ultimate.
Yeah, it's fucking thing. Sick. It's like one of the coolest things that we, like, I think as like a as a company will have ever be a part of. Like, awesome. it's really cool. Like, these like moments in history that everybody keeps making, and I'm like, I think we're all really grateful to be a part of like all of this
totally.
Stuff. It's a totally. Very cool, like, I don't, we never like to call it resurgence or anything, because like it just sort of just never went away. We just like just listened to it. And I feel like it's getting appreciated again, like, by mass, like, more people. So I think that this is a really good time for music in general.
Yeah,
Dream Car's sick. Like, it's, like, fucking really cool. Like, I don't know. You think this is, I don't like the term super group. I think it's dumb.
Because it's, like, all of No Doubt with just a different singer. It's not just, like, you know, like, this guy from this band, this guy. It's so good, because those guys, you know, they've been playing together their whole life, and they're so good. And Davey is such a theatrical, amazing front. I saw their first show, and you would never know that it was their first show. Like, they were so good, and they just have such a chemistry, and the record's great, too.
I was in a hotel room with him one time, and he was like, he's like, I'm not going out there unless I blow dry my hair. It was at the fucking Roosevelt. I was like, okay. it was like a couple of years ago. I was like, it's one of those things. I was like, I don't know, I got myself into this position, but here I am.
That's awesome.
So, I haven't talked to him since. I don't even think I fucking talked to him then. I was just like, it was like one of those things where you're like, fly on the wall, and I was like, what's happening? Yeah. And then I went home, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is a weird life we're all living here. But, I don't know, fucking, I like that we have the same, like, press people. Because we get to, like, fucking talk to you and, like, do all this stuff. We get to work a lot, really, really heavily with, like, Dana and everybody and connect everybody. And I know Babs is, like, Babs's first show she ever went to.
Yeah, I think I briefly emailed you guys about this. But, yeah.
But I was you said all that when I was in Budapest, where you're from, which is amazing.
I'm like, what's
beautiful city. That was an awesome day off.
Yeah, were you guys there just for one day?
2 days. We had a day off, and then the next day we played this outside venue that's in like a container park, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
One of the best crowds and best shows of tour. And we did the I always butcher the name, but I think it's like Sziget Festival.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Which was amazing. That was like 50,000 people or something.
It's
year.
Like the number one festival in Europe.
It's amazing.
But nobody in Europe knows about it, or maybe they do, but I think not as much as other, you know, like Leeds or, you know, all those festivals. But it is literally the most fun festival.
I mean, it's on its island, and people live there for like a week. It's like, and they have the biggest,
and people just move in, and the music never stops. It's 24 hours a day.
That's crazy. And we played on the main stage before David Guetta, and I was like, what the fuck? And like, the audience didn't switch. They just stayed, and they went nuts for both bands. And after the show, because it's on like an island, you have to drive them, we had to leave. So at about 3 in the morning, we had to drive through the entire festival with the tour bus to get out, and we're just sitting there watching all these people just fucked up everywhere partying, and I'm
just
like,
you guys are just running over fucking people. And
it's also funny because it's not like Coachella where the campgrounds are separated. People literally just pitch a tent.
It's next to the fucking main stage, which is right there.
It's so my dad's friend started that festival, and his band played, I think, the first one ever. And so, like, I went there when I was, like, a kid. And so I had been to, you know, shows and festivals before, obviously, the Sum 41 show. But the Sum 41 show at the Palladium was the first show that I chose to go to, you know. And I was like, this is it. And it was literally the best experience of my life. And it's what got me into, you know, emo and pop punk and all that. And I remember going, and I took a friend of mine who
was,
I think I was like 13 or 14. And I took a friend of mine who wasn't into this scene at all, and she was just super confused, and I was like losing my shit. And Derek was, what I remember is he was like cussing a lot, and I was this super like nerdy, like, weird kid.
Yeah, one of Babs's eyes, like, didn't look in the right direction.
Yeah, I literally had it, like, really I was, like, cross-eyed, and braces, and
tight.
It was all that. But, yeah, it was such a cool experience, and I guess, you know, like, before we were talking about moments that, like being a kid, and you're, like, everything is new, that, for me, was the first, like, really cool musical experience. And I don't know, I think back on it really fun.
She talks about it like close to 5 times a day.
I know.
Mm-hmm. So, it's
hey,
like,
I was a huge fan too. And
yeah.
The first time I saw them on Warped Tour and I met them, because Street Drum Corps was on that tour years ago, you know, I was completely blown away. I mean, Derek is one of the greatest frontmen. I mean, he
so
owns
good.
The fucking audience, knows how to work them. And I was a huge fan. And to be in the band, it's amazing because it's a band I've always wanted to be in.
Yeah.
So it's been like the greatest 2 years ever, and we've been on tour so much, and we've already been all over the world, and we're still about to go.
It's fucking sick, dude. It's does it ever just blow your mind when you go to bed? You're like, oh yeah, I'm in one of my favorite bands.
Totally.
Like,
and we just got back from Europe, I mean, a couple days ago, and it was the biggest shows we've ever done. We did all the Europe festivals, and we were like third from the top or headlining or whatever it was, and we did the Downloads and the Rock and Ring, Rock and Park, and I mean we were playing to 80,000 or 90,000 people, and we did a show. It was us, Blink-182, and Linkin Park in Italy. It was 89,000 people or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Fucking huge.
And the raddest thing about the whole thing is the festival was a 4-day festival. It was Green Day night one, who headlined, Radiohead night two, us, Blink, and Linkin Park, day three, and day four was Bieber. Our night blew out all the other nights, attendance-wise, by, like, a lot, which
that's
was amazing
wild.
To see that.
No, it's fucking awesome.
You know what I loved about that one was I saw it was promoted as Blinkin' Park.
Yeah.
Because they're doing...
Was it like a co-headline thing?
Yeah, they're going to do two stadium shows together, so it's called Blinkin' Park for that.
Yeah, somebody was just, like, at the agency and being like, finally it's happening. Like, somebody was like, there it is. And somebody, you know, is just fucking sitting behind the desk being like, typing out Blinkin' Park, being like, there's my time to shine.
Some 40-182.
Yeah, you could do that. There's
the
a lot of...
The fans were super stoked,
because
Blink and Sum only went out, like, when Sum first came out on, one tour. So the fans were super stoked, and then, like... We did a show with Linkin Park in Amsterdam. It was their own arena show. It was just us and them. And it was amazing. And the fans really were into that, too. So it's cool to see the fans are liking it. Even, like, Mike Shinoda was like, yeah, dude, like, our fans are really feeling this lineup. Like, we need to do more shows together. And Linkin Park has been amazing to me and Street Drum Corps. We did their Project Revolution tour a couple of years ago, the whole summer tour. And we opened the main stage, did our set, but then we were there intro, middle, and closing of their show. So Chester's been, like, such a dear friend and supporter. And then I saw that we had a day off and they were playing Amsterdam. I'm like, we just did 9 weeks here and we didn't do Amsterdam for some reason. So I was like, we should do this. And he's like, I'll ask the guys. It's like, fucking happened right away.
Amazing.
And their fans were really cool, too. Like, it was a great show.
They're just, like, really receptive of, like, music.
Totally.
You know what I like the most about Linkin Park?
What's that?
Ship. They're, like,
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah,
that app is amazing.
It's the best.
I haven't checked it out.
Dude, it's the fucking greatest. You want to ship something right now? Someone will be here in 5 minutes.
No way.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
We'll put our promo code. This is not an app.
It's not an app. It's just a good ass app.
That's awesome.
You have $5 off your first use of ship.
Like, I really, we fuck with ship all the time. So anyway, when you see them again. Yeah, they're like it has a Y in it. It's not how you spell ship.
It's not how you spell Lincoln.
There you
go.
It's
not how you spell Lincoln either.
That's what I'm saying. Of course Linkin Park has had a part in it.
But
they're like, we're gonna misspell.
It's not how you spell night either.
Right. I'm seeing.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I have confusion, but.
Well, either way.
It's a great app.
Hey, they sent out DJ.
Yep.
Sick. That's fucking awesome. We tell them that we literally like ship.
Totally will.
Okay, thank you. I've been waiting for the chance to, like, meet them just so I can be like, yo, I, like, really appreciate what you guys have done.
And you'll probably stand out because no one else probably tells them that.
Yeah.
Or knows.
Yeah, they're like, oh, man, I love that song. I'm like, I like the app that you invested in. Yeah. I mean, fucking great. How long have you been married?
3 years now.
Did you know her for a while before?
Yeah, a couple years before that. And, like... We met through life multiple times and just finally put it together one day.
Not a childhood thing, like the, you
know. No, just through LA music. She was in a bunch of bands and
wow.
Through the course of
what
all
she
my
sing?
Singer, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And we were both out in LA at like some horrible cheesy club entertaining friends
Emo
and
night.
Didn't want to be there. This is before Emo Night days. And I just walked up and started talking and realized that holy
she's
shit. We many things, but yeah, like wait, we knew each other here, we played
right.
here, our band
right, right.
all this. And then started hanging out and then yeah.
Is she still singing?
Yeah. I mean, whenever she can, definitely.
That's fucking great, dude.
She was, the coolest thing was, like, the last big thing I did with Shoot Drum Corps in 2013, we did a residency at the Hard Rock in Vegas, and she was our background singer, so we got to do that together, which was awesome, and Derek was actually our special guest on opening night, and that's how this whole Sum 41 thing started.
What?
Like, it just went well, and we vibed together, and he's like, hey, you should come over and jam. Like, I have parties, and I have a jam room. Started going over playing cover songs. And then literally one day, I was updating the Street Drum Corps Facebook events, and in my top feed, it was a Sum 41 thing with Steve-O saying he was out. We didn't have that, like, sit-down. Like, you see the Metallica movie when they put Robert Trujillo
yeah,
in
no,
the
that's
band.
What
like,
I'm, that's
it was
what,
this thing. We
yeah, that's what I'm
that.
Asking.
He
yeah.
just showed up and
no, I mean,
started playing.
Derek, yeah, I guess he told me, but it wasn't like some, like you know...
Like, nobody said the magic
thing.
Words. They're like,
no.
You were in the band. So you just, basically, you're just
like... toss your jersey. Like, here you go, kid.
Yeah.
Dude, that is so funny. Me and Derek have something in common, which I don't know if we can talk about on the like this thing, but we have a thing.
Got it.
Yeah,
so,
you can.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about anybody else but me. I can't really talk about anybody else but
yeah.
but me.
Oh, the rules of the thing. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I don't personally care.
I feel
care.
Like he's very open about it.
Yeah, it ain't my fucking place though.
Okay.
To like talk mm-hmm. about anybody else but my own thing. So. Yeah, but which is cool because I've always wanted to meet that dude because of said thing, which is just like because I know that we've asked him to do the nights a couple times and it is a fucking wild thing. It's an insane time for anybody, even if you are drunk or not.
Yeah, I haven't been, but Marco from Sugar Cult, dear friend of mine, he's taking me to Japan. We've DJed together in Japan, which was like, I'd never been there before, and he's like, hey, you want to go to Japan with me in a week to do this DJ residency at like the most famous rock club there, whatever, and I'm like, yeah, that's really gonna happen. And he's like, here's the fucking ticket,
great.
You're in, like, what? And he told me about it, and he did your guys' anniversary night, and I was literally going on tour the next morning, and I just had to spend that last night with my family. I really wanted to go, and he invited me. But I've seen all the shit, like, the posts, and I know, like, we were actually talking to Dylan Francis about the AP Awards, because he had just done it as his whole press
yes.
thing and everything.
Did he do it?
I actually connected the management on that one.
Amazing.
There you go.
So, you know, and when I found out that Dana worked with you guys, I was like, I want to do it in LA, and she was like, kind of just hang tight. And then, now I know that you guys, did you guys do the... party last year too for AP or just the first
yeah.
time?
Yeah,
so last year we did the like the industry one.
Yeah.
Got it.
This year we're doing the fan one, which will probably be more fun.
Oh yeah,
yeah because
sure.
last year, I mean,
we had a great time last year.
It was
put it down, but.
No, definitely don't want to put it down. It was just a huge venue, and it was kind of separated by artists and then fans, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
The big thing was that it was open bar, and the
yeah.
bar was all the way at the back.
Yeah, so people would be, like, by the bar, and then we had all of our friends on the stage, so we had a really good time, but, you know, I think it kind of lacked, like, the energy that,
well,
that Emo Night normally
well, dude,
had.
So, like, it's like anything when you start something new. There's, like, a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys started the drum corps, which was something that... It was a concept, but it didn't exist in the way that you guys made it exist. So same thing with our night. Like it's a concept of people playing music at a bar, but it doesn't exist in the same realm as that we put it on as. So there's always this learning curve on what works and what doesn't work, right? Have you found out with like fucking the drum like drum corps like being like oh we made that we probably shouldn't do that again.
Oh yeah, we
yeah,
tried a million things that have. Flop
yeah.
and whatever, yeah.
So sure. there's, like, this learning curve, you know what I mean? So now it's always cooler with fans, and it's always cooler with, like, people who want to be involved and be into it. You know, honestly, like, I was pretty surprised about the industry one. They were having, like, a good time, but it took, you know, a bunch of free drinks beforehand. You know, like, it took, like, a bunch of free drinks for them to be like, this is fucking sick. But
also probably, you know, it's like they have to be at the APMAs all day performing, you know, just like having to do a bunch of shit. So I'm sure at the end of the day, they just wanted to all go home.
It's weird for us too because, you know, our parties, there's no like lines between the industry or the artists and the fans. Like, we don't have a VIP section. We don't have like bottle service. It's like, if you want to get up on the fucking stage and rock out, you can.
That's awesome.
You know, at that, it's hard for people to understand that, I think, especially in, like, Cleveland, Ohio. But.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, like, a new thing. It's, like, any new thing. It's, like, people don't know what to think. It's just, it's, like, VR. It's, like, all types of things that are current. And you're, like, you're, like, never seen this before. But, what do I do? And so, it's, like, the cool thing about all of the things that we are all doing is that they're new. But they're also, like, very, very, they, like, touch people and, like, hot. And, like, you know, in, like, a very important way. And I think, like, especially for, like, kids growing up wanting to play drums, I think seeing you and how much you've done in that field really, like, inspires and is, like, a really, really cool, hopeful thing for kids. And I don't know if you get a lot of that, like, kids being like, yo, I want to be just like you. Or, yo, can I be in that fucking drum corps? Like, do you get that a lot? Like, I would imagine. Because drummers are passionate, dude. They're also really good producers. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and drummers just, it's like this brotherhood thing. Like, you always at the festivals and wherever you see all the drummers hanging out, you know, Treacle and Brad Book and, like, all this stuff. There's just this, like, it's just this natural thing. Like, I don't really ever see that with the other musicians and stuff. Like, it's just this cool drum thing. And, like, yeah, that's, like, going back to what you said, I think that's, like, the best compliment you can ever have in the world is if you can inspire, you know, anyone.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we do this all. It's the greatest gift that you could,
dude,
you know.
You gotta fucking really like it, because when you first start in a band, it's the hardest job because you have so much stuff to carry.
Oh.
It's like, you have to really want to play drums if you want to play drums. Because, like, nobody carries your drums for the first however many years until you make it, if you make it. So I've always thought that was, like, the fucking, like, the telltale of, like, a dude that, like, wants, he's like, carry shit. Get a fucking, what you gotta do. Now Scion is, like, the right car to have if you're a drummer.
Oh, seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, but I remember, like, when I was growing up, like, kids used to fucking get van. They're like, I don't want to.
I had an Astro van. It was my first car.
That's the thing.
Because,
like, you have to.
Yeah, my
life revolves around it.
Yeah, I had to schlep drums and run gear.
Yeah, and that's, and I played metal bands, so, I mean, there was several bass drums.
Oh, hell yeah. I always had big kids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, racks and shit.
Which I brought back in Sum 41 because there's so much metal shit and double bass stuff, and I grew up doing that, and I'm better on two kick drums and all that. And when I saw our stage set and the guys have like three Marshall stacks per side, I was like, oh fuck yeah, I'm bringing two kick drums and a big ass gong.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, what's your okay, so I know like some of my favorite, like, I know some of my this dude.
I have those same shirts. Like, when I used to go see, I was a total death metal kid.
Yo, remember when everybody called him Pete the Feet Sandoval? Because
totally.
He was, like, the fastest double bass drum at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's, like, certain drum sounds through the history of drum sounds where I'm like, that's my favorite snare. That's my fucking favorite bit. Like, my favorite drummer, my favorite snare is the fucking 311 snare where it just sounds like it's a fucking hitting on like a piece of plastic, that fucking piccolo snare. You can't, it's an unforgettable sound.
Yep.
I don't know, I think out of like all drummers, I think Vinnie Paul's probably like my favorite.
He's amazing.
Dude, like, I don't know, I thought that what he did for Pantera brought Pantera into, it was like one of those things where it was like, you listen to things, like, normal people listen to things for drums. Like, oh, did you hear that drum? Or drummers are like, oh, shit, did you hear that? Did you hear that? But normal people are like, oh, fuck, did you hear that bass drum roll that Vinnie Paul did? So, as far as, like, musicians goes, like, what is that? What sticks out for you? Sound-wise, too, because I'm always interested in, like, what you think sounds, like, what musicians think sounds the best, and what we think sounds the best.
I mean, to this day, you can put it on right now, it still sounds huge and current to me, is the two Bob Rock, actually three Bob Rock records, was Dr. Feelgood, the Metallica Black Album, mm-hmm. and then the Motley record they did without Vince Neil, which the drums on that are fucking insane.
What's that record called?
I think it might have been just Untitled. They had John Corabi singing the vocals, and it is an amazing record and amazing songs. It's like Zeppelin.
Yeah.
But the drum sound is massive, and what they actually did was they brought a PA into the studio, ran the drums through the PA, and mic'd the PA, and
that's
how
they recorded
it. So
they didn't fucking go right to the drums?
They did both.
Fucking huge.
And we met with Bob Rock for a street drum corps record, and he's like, oh, I moved my studio to Hawaii, so we're doing the record in Hawaii, and I was like, you're amazing at drum sounds.
Right.
We get to go to Hawaii, and the label wasn't into it. But I wanted it to happen.
Can't you just go?
Maybe one day.
Yeah, just do that. It must be nice. I'm going to move to Hawaii, record drums down there. Fuck it. Go ahead. Not my boy. I don't have time to do anything.
Yeah, Offspring actually recorded a record with Bob Rock and Dexter. I actually auditioned for the Offspring.
You did?
Years ago, before Pete got the gig, when Adam World left.
Not Pete.
Because I was in a touring band. It was like my first big band out here called The Start, which the drummer of The Start is now the drummer of Bad Religion. It's like this cool indie dance rock band, and we toured tons. We supported Goldfinger and like all this shit. And what do you call it? Fuck, what was my point of that at the beginning of the story?
It was just fucking drum sounds, maybe. Or touring.
The Offspring.
Oh, sorry, The Offspring. We were on Nitro. Thank you. We were on Nitro, Dexter's label.
Hot sauce.
And we did Nitro Showcase in Austin, and Dexter, like, loved my drumming and took me aside, and we hung out that night. And then Adam left the band, so I went and did a private audition with them, and he was like, oh, I can't sing, we're just going to play instrumental because I have to get on my jet and go to Hawaii and do my vocals tonight with Bob Rock.
Must be fucking nice.
Amazing.
Dude, must be fucking super nice.
But the coolest thing about those guys is that they didn't give me the gig because they were so stoked on what I was doing street drum corps, and they didn't want to take me away from it.
Wow.
Which is pretty rad.
That's admirable.
Yeah.
But it's also annoying.
I was like, alright.
I'd be like, I want to do all the things. Why can't I just do all
the
stuff?
You know what, though? Everything does work out for a reason, and I'm really happy where I am now and how everything's worked out.
I mean, you're here, so you're right with us.
Fuck yeah.
So you're doing it right now. Hey, where do you live at?
I just literally moved. I was in Valley Village for the last almost 9 years. It was my bachelor pad that turned into wife, baby, now we need a storage unit, so we finally found an amazing place. Up in Woodland Hills, and I literally was home from tour for Memorial Day weekend only, moved in, and then got every appointment done, the fucking cable guy, like every, all that shit, left for Europe, so I spent only 3 nights in the house, went to Europe. I get back from Europe on Thursday. Friday morning, I had to go to Palm Springs for the weekend, because my street drum corps partner's getting married, and I'm fucking missing his wedding, which is the worst thing ever. But I was like, I gotta do something to make it up. So I threw him a bachelor party. We rented the Howard Hughes, has this house, like this mini estate that he had from the 50s. Unbelievable.
I've never been there, but it sounds like something you would have done.
Art Deco, old school, like nothing's updated. The kitchen's so outdated, but in such a cool way.
Wait, in where?
Palm Springs.
Yeah, Palm Springs. And it was like 120 degrees every day. It was brutal.
Amazing. Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare.
But,
Morgan, I can already picture you being like, cool spot for a music video.
Well, the thing is, like, I remember I shot a video in Joshua Tree that was like a known house, and I don't know if it was a Howard Hughes. That just sounds like something that I would skip over. Somebody'd be like, it's a Howard Hughes house, babe. Don't care. This house looks awesome.
There's actually bullet holes through the windows still, because it's all those giant windows to look out. And supposedly he had like a pistol or something that he would like, you know, wave around, and there's like still bullet holes in the window.
Really?
Yeah.
They kept him there?
Yeah.
I used to do some. I can't talk about that. I'll tell you. There's like so much shit I wish I could say that I'd just be like, oh yeah, we can arrest you still if you say that. So I can't talk about that.
So one act that you've been involved with that we haven't touched on is Cruella.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we kind of do is kind of like somewhere in between pop punk and EDM in this like weird world. I don't know if you want to just talk a little bit about like the differences that you've seen maybe in like pop punk and EDM or the similarities. Or
the cool thing about it is that Cruella wanted to hire a drummer and a guitar player. Their whole thing was, we want to bring rock to the rave. So they were like, do you, and we want a heavy rock drummer to play that vibe on this EDM music. So I didn't have to like tone it down or play like electronic kit to emulate, you know, all these sounds and stuff. They just gave us freedom, and the musical director, you know, I actually knew him from back in the day, and their whole crew I knew, and I didn't know the girls. And they said, hey, the girls just are going to DJ and they want to bring drummers in. Will you come down and jam? So I was like, cool. Like, there's like nothing to rehearse, nothing to plan. So I'm thinking I'm going to go jam with DJs, which I've played with DJs forever. Like, and I DJ as well and all that. So like, I love dance music and all that. So I get in the room, and it's fucking just white lights, and they're sitting with like a pad at a seat, and it's a fucking audition. I was like, fuck, I didn't know this was like an audition, and that they were just going to play a mix that they randomly made with tempo changes and things, because they wanted to see how drummers would adapt to it. So I was like, okay, cool, this is an audition. I see like lines of dudes outside, and they literally had every amazing rock drummer from LA come down.
You know him?
On the way out, I was like, hey, dude,
yeah,
like,
bro,
you know, totally. Yeah. And I was first. And I left, and I got, like, a call later that night. They were like, yeah, the girls want to get on the phone call with you and, like, have a whole, you know, conversation. But, like, they loved you. They're blown away. Like, no one else, you know, really stuck out from the day with them. And I get on the phone with them, and I'm talking about touring and that I'm married and whatever. And they go, and my wife is, you know, she was a singer, too. And they go, what band? I go, Electric Valentine. And they were like, what? When we started this band, that was, like, our inspiration. So, like, my wife kind of helped me get the gig, I think, too.
That's great. That's fucking so cool. It sounds like she's helped you do a bunch of shit.
Oh, she's fucking awesome.
That's so cool.
Very, very lucky.
Yeah, damn, dog.
But, like, so that world is just, every song is, like, a fucking finale in those dance festivals with just the production, pyro, all that. And, like, we were doing... Every weekend when I joined the band for summer, we were flying to either Asia or Europe or somewhere in America. Like, it was just, that's how they're, that DJ, you're in and out, you go all the way to fucking Germany to play for an hour and fly home. That's normal in that world. And it was just so insane to just be leading the beat for these people going completely mental. And those girls are awesome. And we would definitely throw in, like, some random shit in the middle of the set that you would never hear it raised, like System of Down, and not a remix, the fucking original,
yeah.
You know, which is awesome. And my schedule has somehow worked out amazingly that I was able to literally jump from Sum 41 to Cruella. Like, when I did the AP Awards, I went right to the airport and flew to Belgium, right on stage to a festival, and then came home. Like, shit like that, and thank God I've never had any flight issues to fuck it up, but, like, I've been able to do both, and now they're actually about to go on a tour this fall, but they're just DJing only. They're not bringing the band out for this one.
How do you stay healthy? Because we fly in and fly out all the time. We fucking get sick all the time.
You know what? Actually, I completely changed my life this year, and it's been working amazing. Like, I actually consulted with a bunch of amazing athletes, because being a drummer and the lifestyle we have is like being an athlete, and I learned so much about supplements, about... training, about like icing. I have a 2-hour routine before I go on stage. And
2 hours?
Yeah.
Can't do shit for 2 hours. I can't do like one thing for 1 hour. Like, I'm having a very hard time right now. I've been doing this for an hour. I don't know how you do 2 hours anymore.
What's the routine?
Being a Sum 41 is being an athlete. Playing, you know, we did a 9-week tour in Europe. We played 2 hours a fucking night. That's a long show. The drums
really,
don't stop.
Dude, that's a really
There was
long
no
show.
Like, acoustic bit where you go piss off on the side of the stage. Like, those guys got to, and I had 3.5 minute drum solo.
Oh my God.
So it was just
right
2 hours or whatever. So I'm like, I need to really,
like, let the kid do the solo.
Yeah, we'll go. Like, so my 2-hour routine is I ice all my arms. It's brutal. It's torture.
You ice
ice bath off. Arms, wrists for 2 minutes straight. Then I work out. I do cardio, and then a bunch of stretching. And then I have a practice kit in the dressing room that I play for like 45 minutes to an hour. And then directly when I get off stage, I have to ice again. And I found out all these amazing supplements that have really changed my life, especially being a drummer, like turmeric powder and beetroot powder, just for inflammations and things like that.
You just rail us?
Do what?
Just like rail us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. just part of me.
Fucking
turmeric. But
I actually just started taking turmeric
It's a cancer like killer too. Like it's a magical thing. Like even the root you put on your eggs and stuff, it's really good.
Yeah.
And
you
all
can't
kinds
really
of.
Taste it.
Nah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It just dyes everything like yellow.
Yeah.
Or it just.
What about when you're flying? Any tips for flying?
Flying is drinking a shit ton of water. Like I buy the big thing.
Yeah.
Because they don't give you enough on the plane. I buy the big thing and then just loading up before and after on like multivitamins and things, because that's really what will take you down on tour. Being in this plane, you know, for how many hours with, you know, one sick person,
yeah,
fuck the whole plane.
Nourishing.
Gross
thing.
People.
Nourishing.
Damn. All right. Well, we're fucking over an hour.
Shit.
So.
Quick.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Time flies.
Dick, you're more than welcome to come back anytime you want. Like, this
love
is great
to.
For us. I still have, like, a lot of questions, and I'm sure we still have, like a lot of shit to touch
well,
on.
Well, this is cool to hang before, like, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm definitely going to come check out your guys' Zimone and
oh,
all
dude,
that, but
great.
It's cool to, like, officially, because, I mean, AP was like, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
quick,
I'm gonna show you exactly how Baby Metal said bye-bye to me, and then we'll just cut it.
Awesome.
But anyway,
wait, before we do that, is there anything that you want to plug before we sign off? I mean, we're hanging out together in a couple weeks of AP.
Yeah, like, that's all that's the focus right now, is this performance. Like, we start rehearsals in a couple days, and I'm so excited for that. Like,
is it going to be live streamed again?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll be live streaming, and definitely check it out. We're dealing with all the production elements of it now and everything. It's really, really exciting.
And
then
you're
going to
win
great.
The award for best drummer.
Yeah, so
that
you're
going to
win the award for
amazing,
best drummer.
But again, to be nominated is a victory in itself. I mean, that's what's crazy.
Hey, who else is against?
You know what? The only two I know, because there's a couple that I've never heard of before, is Machine Gun Kelly's drummer and Controller's drummer.
All right, I was
going to
say both of those guys suck, but we know both
but,
of them.
You know
guys.
What? No,
like, I was going to be like,
we just did a bunch of shows with Machine Gun Kelly, and Root is fucking
he
awesome.
He's a
love
great,
that dude.
He's,
I love Machine Gun Kelly.
He's awesome.
Dude,
he's
but
awesome. Look,
this is what's funny.
We have
that
bands, waiting for him.
Oh, amazing.
Wait, we could bring that. Is he gonna, he's going to be in.
Yeah,
they're playing. But my band's been fucking with me because they go, you're nominated against a drum machine because it's like a drum machine on the record. So they go, if you lose to a drum machine, we're like cutting your pay. So they've been fucking with me. They're like, you can't. And then he complained, you know, all these festivals, they're like, there's the drum machine, there's your comp. And I'm like, no, he's a live band live. This kid's fucking great.
Yeah.
He's like one of the sweetest dudes that we've met in a really, really long
oh,
time.
Oh, totally.
So it's been fucking great
yeah.
getting that. Anyway.
Well, cool. Well, by the time this airs, the APMAs will just
be yeah, voting over. Will be done in a couple of days from
yeah,
now.
I think
that'll be done
we'll,
by then.
We'll,
but thanks
we'll,
for everyone that has
we
voted.
Will
yeah.
push it out. We'll push that fucking
push
to have them vote for you.
Stuff.
Awesome.
So this cool. will be, when will this be out? This will be out probably
like
on
the Monday of it.
The 10th. Right, so it'll be 1 week till.
And we'll blast out all the promo stuff, and we'll have Jeff Funk blast it on all the socials
cool.
and too.
Yeah, if you want to miss something, fine. This is really quick. I was gonna say this in the beginning. So the band that I'm in now, Jeff Funk played bass. He pretended to play bass in a music video that we shot maybe 6 years ago. This is before when he was still
amazing.
Like at Total Salt. It was like we're. He pretended, and he like fucking wanted to. He did this jump thing and fell on his ass, and it was the fucking funniest shit
that
I've ever seen.
Awesome. You need to release that part.
We may still have the raw, but I mean the video's out, so it's really funny. He didn't ever play bass. No one played bass in that band, so it was really, really. That video is floating around somewhere. I'll send that shit to you. But anyway, thank you so much, Frank.
Thanks for
having
me. Thank
you.
Really appreciate it.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.